Let's get into the Bible today. It's good to have everybody out today. A lot of people visiting here, there, and yonder. My boys are broke down out in Garden City, Kansas, and they're, anyway, well, I think maybe they're on the way home. They had to send some, but I laughed. I was so careless. It's almost prophetic. I told them, I'll be waiting for your call when you're all broke down out there, and they're broke down. But anyway, they're coming on in, and I think somebody's going out to get a rig. But they've had a good time, and I was glad for them. And it's good for you. We don't like to see you out of church, but it's good for you once in a while to go somewhere, take a break, and you and your wife or your family do something together and get refocused on life and so forth. And it's good to have you all out today. All right, let's get right in. Brother Jim, where you at? What a Sunday school lesson. Bless the Lord. I don't know how in the world to use somebody about like you, but boy, that was good. Amen. No, Jim, that was good. And you only get that by going through the fire. That's the only way you get messages like that. That ain't one of them 3 points in a poem deal. And I appreciate what you said about your wife. And sister, I want to tell you something. God will write the last chapters and He'll honor your sacrifice for the Lord. And so I just want to encourage, and I appreciate what you said there, Jim, about we do get older and we do get weaker. And but man, it's listen, real quick, Wednesday night services this fall ought to be good. I want to encourage you. We're going to be visiting. We're going to be doing visitation on Wednesday nights. And here's what's going to happen. Starting a week from this Wednesday night, we'll be visiting Norwood, passing out tracts, CDs, whatever Houston comes up with to deal. We're going to meet at 6:30. We're going to have a quick word of prayer. Then he'll divide us up into teams. He'll have a map. We'll hit Norwood. After that, we're going to, and when we come back, we're having pizza. And those of you who don't come, don't get any. But no, listen, those who stay at church are to pray for us and help prepare the food, all right? We're going to come back, we're going to eat, and we're going to have testimony service, some songs, and just testimony about maybe some of the people that we got to meet, got to talk to, a special prayer for those people. Then after we got Norwood done, we're going to do Mansfield, house to house. And this will be every Wednesday night for quite a while through the fall here. We get Mansfield done, we're going to go to Mountain Grove. May take us 2 or 3 Wednesday night to get a town covered. We're going to spend about 45 minutes, and then we're going to come back. We'll have prayer at 6:30, come back. And if you guys at the jailhouse want to take off for a while or switch out with some guys, it just suits yourself. But we're going to try to cover. Brother Adams is in the hospital or in the nursing home, and I think this is a good time for us to get out and do some personal visitation ourselves. If people come from too far away here to bring you in on Thursday night or Saturday, I'm just not going to do that. It's never worked for me. We can take Wednesday night, have some people here praying, some people out visiting, and get the job done. So be in prayer about that. And I'm just kidding you. If you haven't been coming on Wednesday nights, it'd be a good time to start coming. And understand, and if you want to be here in prayer and just read your Bible and pray for those of us that are out there. And we're not here to condemn anybody, run you down. We're here to get you on the team, get you out on the floor, amen? Get you into some, you know, a lot of, you sit on the bench all your life. You get on the floor, it's a lot of fun, amen? A lot of fun to make a basket for the other team. I did that one time. I made a basket for the other team one time. Guy threw it into me, and I looked down there. Wasn't nobody there. I ran right down there and laid her up. I heard everybody screaming, but I thought they was encouraging me on. And but I never forgot that. Guarantee after that, I made sure what direction I was headed. I mean, it made sense to me. They were all down there. I went this way. Amen. All righty. But come on Wednesday night. We're going to have a great time. It's going to be good. God's going to get our heart burdened for souls and so forth. And so I pray that you'll come that. And children's ministry will be here if you need to leave your kids. Maybe you'll take your sons and daughters with you out there. But we'll be going in at least pairs and so forth. So I hope you'll get involved in that. Let's begin reading one of the greatest stories that Jesus... Man, I'm telling you what. You know, if I was an old agnostic, reprobate atheist, if I were... And I read this passage of Scripture, I read this story, I'd say this ain't like no other writing in the world. If you read the Bible, and it's, if you just be honest with yourself, nobody spake like Jesus spake. So let's get this and we'll try to run quick. But now I'm going to say this to you today. If I had my way about it, I would have had everybody here this morning that ever comes here once a year, much less all of you that come at a time. But you know something? Man got up here this morning, he gave devotion. Right in line. Jim got up here this morning to give a Sunday school lesson. Right in line. And so I know God's in it, and I know God wants to preach. You know what? God just kind of whispered me, said, "Well, Reggie, I don't usually preach this message to bunches anyway. There'll be one or two people out there that really that this will be for in a real serious and personal way, although it'd be good for all of us at some point in our lives." So I don't know what God wants to do with it. I'm just going to, in faith, preach it and thank the Lord for it, and I'm excited about it. Verse number 30, everybody there say amen. Well, that was weak as water. Luke chapter 10. Did I give you the wrong text? Luke chapter 10, verse number 30. Now is everybody there? Say amen.
Amen.
I just want to know you with me. Amen, if you can be. Verse number 30, and Jesus answering said, now what happened? There's a lawyer, an attorney, asked a smart aleck question. He asked Jesus down verse 25, what shall I do to inherit life? And he didn't ask that really to find out, because you can read the context of it. He said unto him, what is written in the law? How read? I said, your lawyer, what's written in the law of God? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do and thou shalt live. But he what? Willing to justify himself, ask another question. Well, and who is my neighbor? You know, we're just going to dissect this thing and spice it up, and we're going to play word games, and we're going to twist, and we're going to, you know, go until we can't get anything out of nothing. Instead of just being honest about it. You know, I ask you today, who's your neighbor? It ain't hard to figure out. It's the guy who lives near you. It's the guy who lives 40 miles down the road from you. A lot of neighbors. It's not hard to figure out who our neighbor is. And so Jesus, in response to that little cocky question that, well, who's my neighbor, give this great, wonderful, blessed story. And here it goes. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Oh, thank God, in verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil. And I'm going to preach on that today. I'm going to preach on the subject of pouring in oil. I may get off on the wine some, but most I'm going to preach on pouring in oil. And then he did something. He set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which of that now these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him. Now he's still talking directly to this attorney, this lawyer. He said, go and do thou likewise. Now, I want to go back up there in verse number 34. The Bible said pouring in oil. If you know anything about the Bible and you study the Bible very much, I'll preach a message entitled, So You Think You Want to Go to Jericho. If you know anything about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, you know that in the Old that first of all, oil pictures the Holy Ghost in Scripture. Second of all, oil in the Old Testament was always poured on men, but in the New Testament, the Holy Ghost is poured in men. We have the Holy Spirit within us in the New Testament, church dispensation. But in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was poured on them. David said that he shall anoint my head with oil. Saul was anointed. You read about Samson and these different men in the Bible. You'll find the Holy Ghost came up on them. But when you get in the New Testament, for the New Testament believer, for the church, the Holy Spirit of God is within us. We're baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8, it says he's none of his. So that's a basic, simple doctrine there. Now, wine in this passage of Scripture, I believe, speaks primarily of the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ which cleanses from all sin. You see, before you get saved, the Holy Ghost has to come upon you with conviction, right? That is the oil. And then the blood has to come in to cleanse you, right? There's the salvation. Now, but this, their New Testament doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the old timers used to talk about a threefold work, talk about the indwelling. And if you're saved, that indwell, that comes to salvation. But there's more of the Holy Spirit than just indwelling. There's in the empowering, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to serve the Lord, and not just serve the Lord, but to live the Christian life. As Jim pointed out, You cannot live the Christian life in the power or energy of your intellect or of your flesh. You're not only saved by the power of the Holy Ghost, you have to live the Christian life in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Now, the abiding of the Holy Spirit within us, and that's talking about where it's living in a practical way through us, comes by the crucifying of your flesh and the obedience to the Word of God. And so there's that work in that. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. Do you want all that God has for you? I want to ask you that question. Now, I want you to understand something this morning. I'm not preaching. I'm preaching to the church primarily. Now, I'm not preaching about some Pentecostal, charismatic, off the wall, some kind of a emotional hoopy-doo deal here, okay? I'm talking about the real deal. Do you want all that God has for you in not only serving Him, but in living for Him? Do you want more than just to be saved and not go to hell? Do you really want the power of God upon your life? Now, let me say something to you here today. The thing that is missing in American Christianity is true, genuine, biblical power of the Holy Spirit working through the churches and through individual lives so that the power of God is emanated throughout a nation. I'm telling you, we're missing it. People say, well, what's wrong with preachers anymore? They're dead. They don't have any life. You know, or they're just entertainers, or they're just slick talkers, or they're theological stuff. Well, what's wrong with them? Let me tell you something. There's a thousand substitutes for the power of the Holy Ghost. And I want to say to you this, the Bible teaches here about being poured in. He poured in oil and wine. That speaks of being filled with the Spirit of God. He poured in the wine speaks of being cleansed from sin. And that has to happen. You cannot walk in the fullness of the Holy Ghost and have sin in your life. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. It's written to, in 1 John, Christian people. That's not talking lost people. What God is saying, that in your life there has to be a continuous cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ and a continuous pouring into the Holy Spirit if you're going to live in victory and power for God. You can serve God, and I'm trying to, and you cannot be filled with the Spirit. You know that? I'm here to tell you, it's more thousands of people that are trying, they're serving God, but they're not filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And Jim, may I say to you about this weariness? Weariness comes when you're serving God through the flesh and not in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. He said it's a rest to serve God when you're working in the power of the Holy Ghost. You can have good convictions. You may believe in dressing right, and you may believe in godly education, and you may believe, you may be against divorce, and you may be all kinds of good Bible convictions, but not be filled with the Holy Ghost. Some of the meanest people in the world are people with convictions that are not filled with the Holy Ghost of God. You may have your doctrine straight as a shotgun barrel. I mean, you may have it all right, and I believe in a straight doctrine. Doctrine's primary, doctrine is foundational. But you can have your doctrine down exactly right and still not be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. In fact, some of the meanest, cruelest people I've ever seen are people who know doctrine right, but they are not filled with the Spirit of the living God. Let me tell you personally, myself, I can serve God, I can have convictions, and I can have my doctrine right. But Brother Randy, when I'm not filled with the Spirit of God, I become a mean man. Listen to me carefully. We need to be full of God. We need to have God pour the oil and the wine in us. Now, let me give you, first of all, the historical, common, primary, basic application of this Scripture. This Scripture primarily deals with a picture of a lost man who is getting saved in this passage of Scripture. This man is going down. Remember, he's going down. Mankind is not evolving up. Mankind is going down. And he is headed to Jericho, which is a city that has a curse on it. And he falls on the way down. What God is telling, Jesus is giving him in a vivid picture description. Mankind is going down. He's under the curse, and he's fallen under that curse. The curse in Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3, and he's giving that picture. He falls into sin. Then Jesus said, thieves, plural. He fell among thieves. The flesh, the world, and the devil will steal everything precious from you on the road to Jericho and sense of it being a curse. But not only that, the Bible teaches us that the priest and the Levites went by him when he was wounded there laying. And that tells us that the law can't save you, nor can ritual save you, nor can religion save you. They'll go right on the other side because they can't do a thing for you. And they'll just look at you and say, isn't that sad? Isn't that bad? But they can't do anything for you. Now, the social gospel people will take this and tell you you need to build hospitals and you need to do this, and you need to do that. And they'll take that as a social gospel and leave out the fact that people need to be saved. And so you have all this stuff going in there. Now, we also find out here that the Good Samaritan, though, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when nobody else can help you, Christ will come to you. Christ can save you. Christ can forgive you. Christ can take you to the end. Christ can bind up your wounds. Christ can pour in the poor oil. Christ can pour in the wine. And Christ will take you to the end, which is a picture of the church. And Christ pays the bill. And Christ says that when I return. And Christ is coming back. And it's all a picture of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ throughout the church age. Isn't that good? Amen. And God tells us, go do the look likewise. He said, go out there in the highways and hedges. Find those people that are wounded. By the way, the guy that's feeling good and healthy and everything's wealthy, he ain't got much time for the gospel. But it's that old boy that's wounded. That old boy's been beat down. That, hey, you got a letter right here. Hey, a president of a bank didn't write this letter. An old black boy from the inner city who'd been beat to death by sin wrote this letter. He's the one who had gratefulness. He's the one that we could reach. And that's why I love truckers. Because truckers usually have been beat to death by everything. And I love ministering to people that's wounded and they realize they're on the road and they need help. Now, so that's the primary application. But as many, many passages of Scripture in the Bible, there is another layer of truth here. And I'm going to be honest with you. I've never preached this in 30 years of preaching. Fact of it is, never saw it. I'm going to give you something today. God give me the sweetest thing in the world. Oh, I hope it helps you. My old brother Jim, you was teaching Sunday school in a good spirit today. You wasn't beating on people. I like that. Amen? I'm serious with you. Listen, when people are weary and people hurting, they don't need beating on. They need help. They need tenderness. They need gentleness, how to get out of weariness. Man, I appreciate it. I believe that the secondary application of this story Jesus gave, and I'll tell you what, it grieves me that we have. Maybe you've got it. I never did get it. Is the secondary application is a saved man wanting the power and fullness of God in his life and the experience that he'll go through if he takes off after. It's a picture of a man that's already saved. And he wants to be more than just not go to hell. He wants the power of God. He looks and reads. Watch this. Listen to me. Some of you, that's what you're going to connect with this. He reads his Bible. And he sees the power and the magnificence and the wonder of God. And he says, but it's not in my life. I've not experienced it. He reads about love. He reads beyond knowledge. He reads about joy unspeakable. He reads about peace that passeth all understanding. He reads about the power of God changing people's lives, healing people's lives. I mean, just transforming lives. But he doesn't see it. He's experienced salvation, but he says, I want to be used of God. I want more. There's got to be more than just going to church. Amen. And he's after that. And so let's look at this man. He's saved. He comes, watch this. He comes down from a certain city by the name of Jerusalem. Guess what the name Jerusalem means? City of peace. You know what that tells me? He's got, Brother Don's in. He's got peace with God. He's been saved. He's in the city of peace. Now, this is going to be critical in the story. He's coming from the city of Jerusalem, the city of peace. He's in church up there. He's got peace with God through the blood of the Lamb of God. He has peace with God. He's not going to hell. He's going to heaven. But he has decided, I want God. I want the fullness of the Spirit of God. You know, preachers used to get up and preach on the fullness of God. And one of the reasons they're not doing it today is because it's been so perverted by wild, crazy stuff, being slain in the Spirit and all that kind of junk. You slain the Spirit, you go ahead and your marriage wrecks. Slain in the Spirit, but your children are backslid. Slain in the Spirit, but you still drink and you're still watching them nasty shows. Don't talk to me about this wild, goofy, imitation, full of the Holy Ghost stuff. It's a bunch of junk. It has not brought revival to this nation. But there's a guy out there today who says, but I know there is a reality to being filled with the Spirit. I don't have to be mad at everything and I don't have to worry all the time and I don't have to be fretting myself to death, and there is joy in the midst of trial, and there is peace in the middle of the storm. And I can smile when I've lost all my finances, and I can still bless God when my children are sick. When everything's going wrong in my world, I can still say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. I know there's a God out there that can do something inside of me who makes me full of joy and gladness in the middle of the worst garbage that people could throw at me, all that this world can throw at me. And God, I want that. And God, I want such power upon me that when I talk to men about their souls, and whenever, Lord, I live, I'm going to tell you something, they see God in me. They sense that the Lord is on me. So I'm saying he come from Jerusalem, a city of peace. He's already got peace with God. But he's headed, watch this, down to Jericho. Did you know how you're going to get more power with God? You know how you're going to get full of the Holy Ghost today? It's by going down. The way up is down. We don't need more theology. We need some neology. We need some people that will humble themselves and say, Dear God, I was nothing when you found me and I'm nothing today. And if you want to get filled with the Holy Ghost and if you want God to pour the oil in your soul, you're going to first of all have to leave the city of peace. You're going to have to leave that comfort zone of Christianity that you're in. And you're going to have to head down toward Jericho and you're going to have to say, Dear God in heaven, whatever it takes to break me, to get me low. The Bible said he is near to those of a broken and a contrite spirit. He's not near the proud. He's not near the cocky. He's not near the... He's not near our spiritual arrogance. What we need is self-abasement, not self-esteem. We need self-abasement, not self-righteousness. We need to be broken if we're ever going to be filled with the Spirit of God. We need lowliness of mind. Let me tell you something this morning. I am nobody, and you're nobody, and we're nobody except in Jesus Christ. Though God may have saved you and God may have given you a family and God may have given you talents and God may have given you this and God may have given you that, you're still nothing without Jesus Christ. And I'm nothing without Jesus Christ. And this church is nothing without Jesus Christ. Oh, if there's any church in the country that ought to be on its face blessing God and praising God, it's this church right here. We ought to base ourselves. We ought to get low before God. And let me tell you something. You ain't never going to get filled with the Holy Ghost of God until you get low. You get humble. You get broken with God. That's the step of it. But he said, I'm going to go to a place, and the place is called Jericho. Watch this. In the Old Testament, Jericho was under a curse. But do you know what the name Jericho means? It means the city of a fresh fragrance of wind. He said, man, wind, Holy Spirit, fragrance. Did you know people that feel the Holy Ghost, they're nice to be around? They're just sweet to be around. They've got a fragrance of God upon them. And he said, I want to get to that place. He said, you think about Jericho, that's the place where they entered into the land of milk and honey. See, if you look at it from the saved man's perspective, Jericho is not the place of curse. Jericho is the place where they entered the promised land of milk and honey. It was a place of victory. It was a place of obedience. It was a place of the power of God. It was a place of victory over the flesh and the world and the devil. Jericho was a place of victory for God's people. It was going to a place where the walls came down. It was going to a place where Canaan land was entered. It was going to a place where victory was experienced. It was going to a place of absolute obedience, absolute faith, absolute victory. And God said, walk around that thing 6 times and on the 7th day, 7 times, and may it look stupid, look like an idiot, but do what I tell you to do and I'll give you victory. You see, going to Jericho is saying in your heart, I'm going to go to a place of obedience. I'm going to go to a place of faith. I'm going to a place of victory. I'm tired of being hooked up on by the devil, the world, and the flesh. I want to live in victory. I want to ask you, do you want that this morning? You want more of God? Or you just want to come to church, Liberty Faith Church every Sunday and listen to Reggie hoot, howl, and holler and head out and go to dinner and just hope I don't preach too long. You're just going through the ritual. I want to tell you something. I don't know why, but God has never let, God has always put in me. Don't be satisfied with normal Reggie. Don't be satisfied with the average. I've got more for you than you even dream about if you'll get obedient to me and do right. It pictures a saved man who heads down to Jericho to get the fresh fragrance of God on him. Going after the power of God, not just satisfied with the peace of God. He wants more than just missing hell. He wants more. He wants to be a help to God. He wants to be a servant of the Lord. He wants to be used of God. He's going where the wind is, where the fragrance is, where the power is, where the victory's at. And do you want all in your life for that? Are you willing to leave the city of peace? Are you willing to leave your comfort zone, just that place where you're saved, but you want more power? This is who God pours oil in, by the way. Let me show you who God pours oil in. First of all, you say, Reggie, he went down there among thieves. And the Bible said he fell among thieves. You know, can I ask you, Kenny, why did that guy wind up falling among thieves? What was he doing down there? Listen to this very carefully. This is a secret to being filled with the Spirit of God. God will make you get alone. You know why he got beat up? Because he didn't have any buddies with him. Where was all his friends back up here at the first church at Jerusalem? You know why? And this is the way God works. I can't explain this. I don't even understand all this. But I can tell you here this morning, if there's anybody in this church who decides that you want to be more than religious, you want to just be more than just kind of coast along in life, and you really want God in your life, you're going to have to leave the comfort zone, and you're going to have to get on a journey where God's going to have you alone. I'll say it this way. He is going to single you out. He's going to cut you out of the herd. He's going to cut you out of the herd. You say, Reggie, are you kidding me? I'm not kidding you at all. When in Jerusalem, he had plenty of company. When he was in Jerusalem, I'm telling you, but when God got him out there, he had to go to the Spirit-filled life. God had to get him alone on the road. You know, there's not many people leaving Jerusalem, the nice comfort zone of their religious life, to head down to Jericho to be filled with the Spirit. We can just sit in Jerusalem, but do we want the Spirit-filled life that we need to get alone? Let me tell you why most people will not leave Jerusalem and why we don't want to be lonely and why we don't want to be alone. It is said that when Billy Graham preached his crusade messages, that if he announced that he was going to preach on loneliness, the crowds would increase every time significantly. He could say he was going to preach on this, that, and the other, but when he announced that he would preach on loneliness, they could not hold the people that would come. Let me tell you about loneliness. He mentioned about Elijah this morning. God had to get Elijah alone before he could ever get a hold of his life. And if you're going to be filled with the Spirit of God, I mean, you want something more than just coming to church. God's going to have to get you alone. But here's the deal. Most of us do not want to be lonely. We will do anything to escape loneliness. We'll do anything to escape loneliness. We don't want to be lonely. We want human acceptance. Now, if you're listening to me, I'm talking about being filled with the Spirit. I'm talking about getting where people call you fanatic. I'm talking about where they say you've went too far with this thing. I'm talking about when your own family starts. I know of a young man who wounded, bruised on the road. All kinds of problems. And boy, I'm going to tell you what, I won't say that he's seeking for God in all the right places, but all the guy wants is just to find God. And I talked to a family member of his recently, and they said, you know, Reggie, we're glad for him and everything, but he's just carrying this thing too far. And I thought that is exactly like this is. When you leave Jerusalem, when you leave that nice little comfort little religious world, and you want to find God, I mean, you really want God's power in your life, all of a sudden, you're going to find out it's lonely there. Some people ain't going to be with you that you've hung around with for a long time. We want religious acceptance. We want family acceptance. We want to be one of the boys. We want to be one of the buddies. Let me tell you why some of you young men will never have the power of God, because you are too afraid to get alone. You value the company of your companions too much. You'll never get there because you value their friendship. You value their acceptance, that peer group that you're in. The second you say, I want to have the breeze of heaven blowing on my heart. Did you know what the breeze of heaven, it'll blow right through your vanity where you look in your face every morning. It'll take some of that worldly junk right off your face, girls. It'll go through your closet. It'll take some of them clothes out of your closet. Did you realize that? And it's going to make you where they think you dress odd, where you look odd. Let me tell you something. I'm saying this, it'll blow through and it'll take the bad habits out of your life. And I'm saying this, it'll take some of the attitudes and the words and the things that you said and the motives and attitudes, it'll take it out of there. But it's going to get lonely if you decide to leave Jerusalem and get on the road to Jericho. Here's the problem. Even in our church circles, we want to dress like, look like, act like, and smell like the rest of the Jerusalem crowd. Let me tell you something God has shown me, that most Christians are conforming to their church, not to Christ. Are you listening to me? Most Christians are conforming to their church and not to Christ. Many of you in this church house this morning, your real problem is you're trying to conform to what Reggie or somebody in this church, you're trying to conform to the church and not to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, it's dangerous to conform to a church. That's how your generations get off on the wrong track. Some of you boys sitting right here, some of you men, some of you girls sitting right here, you're not going to leave Jerusalem, because to leave Jerusalem and to go for God and obey the Lord and have the Holy Ghost upon you, to where instead of just, you're talking to other people about their soul, you're really living for Jesus Christ. I mean, you are walking with God. You know that them girls, you know that them boys are going to kind of start, you know, they're going to kind of start easing away from you because you're just getting too fanatical. Right here in this church. Lonely on the road to Jericho. If you want that Spirit-filled life, God's going to get you alone. He'll cut you out of the herd. Get ready to leave the crowd. I say this and kind of depart. I heard about a young man who got saved up north, and he went decided he's going to go to Bible college. He went down to some southern Bible college, little old Bible college, and he got to hear about these boys going out on Friday night to go in some church service to get full of the Holy Ghost. And he said, "Well, I want to go with you. Where's it at?" He said, "Oh, it's down at the First Skeeter Bible Church down here." And he said, "First Skeeter Bible Church, never heard of it." He said, "Well, just be here. We'll take you. Bring you a jug of water with you. You'll need a jug of water." Brought his jug of water, met the boys, jumped the old truck, and they headed off just driving out in the woods. I mean, just keep driving straight out in the woods. Got way out there. He'd never been so deep in the woods before in his life. Got out of the truck, and there's an old stump right there. And they said, "That's the pulpit." And said, "Here's our congregation, them skeeters and them mosquitoes and them frogs and them snakes and lizards." And said, "This is where we pray for the power of God." He said, "I went over," and he said, "I knelt down by a tree, had this little green stuff all over it." He said, "I got there," and he said, I was praying and rubbing my head against that tree." He said, "And I come out that night, don't think I was full of ticks, sugars, and poison. I wasn't full of the Holy Ghost at all." But you know what I'm telling you? There was a time in America when men used to go off like that and seek the Lord and get on their face and get along with God and have the power of God come upon their lives. And I'm just saying this to you. I'm not sitting up here tonight trying to be, or this morning trying to be smart or anything about it. But I can tell you about myself. I remember when I preached. You know why I wouldn't preach for 10 years? It's because I didn't want to be an average preacher. I didn't want to just get up there and be afraid of everybody, what they'd think, what they'd say, who it made mad. I knew that America was hung up. But preachers, by and large, were afraid of the very people they were preaching at, and they wouldn't even preach on the sins and the issues of their own churches. And I said, "God, I'd rather die." Let me tell you what the old timers used to pray: "Lord, fill me or kill me, but I won't be a tired preacher. I won't be a pansy. Lord, fill me or kill me." I wonder where you get that way today. "Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost, so I'm not afraid of what people think any longer. I have the love. I love them enough. Perfect love casteth out fear," the Bible said. We're talking about being filled with the love of God for souls. You say, "Reggie, well, number one, the first thing that if you want to go to Jericho and be filled with the Holy Spirit, God will have to single you out. The second thing He'll allow to happen in your life, you'll get struck." You say, "Reggie, what do I mean by that?" I mean, you'll get hit, you'll get wounded, you'll get hurt. Amen. You'll get hit. You say, "Reggie, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost." You see, that's why the devil likes to design something that everybody wants to go to these church services and somebody lay their hands on them and somebody do this and get all emotional and get the song and go into swaying. But nobody wants to get singled out, cut off from the herd, and then get struck. The Bible said he got wounded. He got struck so hard, he was laying down on the side of the road, helpless. Anybody want to be filled with the Spirit this morning? You interested in getting struck? You interested in getting cut off alone? Your buddies, you don't have any buddies anymore? Everything are cruel to you? Wounded. The Bible said that Jesus was wounded in the house of his friends. The Bible said a prophet hath no honor in his own country. You're going to get hurt. You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God? You get ready to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. I think I ought to tell you, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt bad. But you know what? It's through your hurts that God pours into oil. Why does God allow us to be wounded? Because He was wounded for our transgressions. And it's through our wounds that God uses us to minister to other people. And if you're not willing to be wounded, you will never be used much for God. Amen. The third thing, He singled him out. He allowed him to be struck. Watch this, worse than that, He allowed him to be sliced. You see, Reggie, how you know he was sliced? Because that's where he poured the oil in. How are you going to pour oil in your wounds if they're not sliced? Any of you ever been sliced? Let me tell you something. You go for God. You want to be filled with the Spirit of God. You get ready to be sliced. I'm talking about being cut. People will say things. You want to serve God? Get ready for the people that you, the least people you expected in the world to say such stupidity, walk up to you and say that. Now, why are y'all getting so quiet? It's a fact. You're going to get wounded. How many times have I said in this church is where God is going to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. If you attend here, it's right here where you're going to get hurt. It's right here where you're going to get cut. I haven't been cut by the beer joint crowd in 31 years of preaching. The only real cuts I can remember of come from preachers and church folk. Say amen right there. Get all this. But don't get mad about it. Smile, rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven. It's not you're getting hit, it's not you're getting sliced, it's how you're responding to it. Jesus warned us, He told us. I'll tell you something, it's no big deal if you wave and everybody waves at you. Jesus said, but when you can wave at those people who wounded you, let me tell you something. The people that are wounding you are the very people that is enabling God to pour in you. That's why Jesus called Judas his friend. It's how we're responding to it. Well, got slashed. The things that God allows to cut you will become the blessings because it's through the cuts that the pouring of the oil is going to come. It's how you respond to it. You get mad and get bitter and say, I don't know why God would allow this. Jim, I feel like I'm preaching your Sunday school lesson, ain't I? You get mad and allow, you know, say, God, I've been trying to serve you. I've been trying to do my best. God, I did this and I did that. Now, Lord, look what you let happen to me. And you pout yourself to the house. Get ready for misery. All God wants to do, He's allowing you to be cut so He can pour the Holy Ghost into you. Then you'll know what you're talking about. It won't be a church experience. It'll be real in your heart. You'll be able to love your enemies, do good to them, disciple and use you, pray for them. Yeah. Well, the next thing, God will single you out. If you're going to go get filled with the Spirit of God, God will single you out, get you out of your city of peace, single you out. He'll get you struck. He'll get you slashed. And then guess what? He'll let you stumble. He'll let you stumble. The Bible said he fell. Do you mean to tell me, Reggie, that a man who wants to be filled with God, who is seeking God, the blessings of God, wants the power of God on him, that God's going to let him fall? Yeah, read your Bible. How about Abraham? How about Noah? God took him through the ark. I mean, Noah, faithful for 120 years, gets through the ark, plants a vineyard, gets drunk. David kills Goliath. Lust. You can't read about it. Maybe Joseph and Daniel's the only two guys in the Old Testament that didn't take a big fall. The rest of them fell. But it was through their fall that they got cut and wounded. Let me tell you something. There are some areas of life that you and I can never minister to anybody else until we've been through it ourselves. You don't know what it's like. And God says, I'm going to show you what it's like to fall. And by the way, if God doesn't let Christians fall, they get so cocky and proud thinking they were so sweet and so spiritual. So every once in a while, God lets you take a big fall. Amen. Let me say something to you. God never condones sin, but He'll use your sin. God did not condone Peter cussing Him and denying Him, but boy, He sure used it. So I say, lift up your hands this morning. Lift up your eyes in hope. But here's what I want to tell you. I'm just going to be honest with you. There ain't going to be one in 50, maybe one in 1,000, who honest to goodness is going to leave Jerusalem and head to Jericho and say, God, whatever it costs, I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. You say, well, this is for preachers. No, it's not. Where'd you read that in the Bible at? The Bible said, be ye filled with the Spirit. It didn't say, be preachers. Preachers ought to be. Ye missionaries, be filled with the Spirit. It didn't say that. It just said to the church, be filled with the Spirit. Well, God will single us out. God allows to be struck. God allows to be sliced. And God allows to stumble. But you know what else God allowed that guy to happen to him? Stripped. To fill us, God may allow us to be stripped. Let me tell you what God wants to strip us of. Our self-righteousness. He wants it all gone. You may have served God for 20 years, 30 years. I'm going to tell you something. God wants rid of your self-righteousness. I'm going to tell you something, folks. When we sail into glory land, it ain't going to be about what Jesus died plus how good I was. It's going to be about what He did on the cross exclusively for you. And it's not going to be how faithful you were. It's going to be how faithful He was. Just like He said this morning, it's going to be by His mercy you land in glory. And God wants to strip all that self-righteousness, and He wants to strip all that stuff that you think you got, that you're so good at, and that God gave you to start with. Who are thou? You know, you boast as if you come at yourself. I mean, God can take away, God can give, God can take away. Who are we? Who do we think we are? And He allows us to be stripped. He may allow you to be stripped of your self-confidence. You've been told all your life, now be confident, be confident, be confident. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible teaches us, Paul said, have no confidence in the flesh. We're to be confident in Him. Amen. When all that, He may strip you of your wealth. I've had God strip wealth away. I'm telling you what He can do, it's fast make your head swim. He can make you hit the deck. He may strip you of your self-sufficiency. He may strip you of health. You say, I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. He may strip you of some family. And probably will. He may strip you of friends. And probably will. He may strip you of your reputation, and probably will the closer you get to Jericho. He may strip you of your position, your status. Let me tell you somebody in the Bible that's a perfect example of this. Naomi. Her and her husband left out. She had a husband. She had two sons. You know, everything's good in life. I got married. I got children. I got a family. Everything's wonderful. But you know what? They was backslid on God. Got away from God. You know what? She come back. When she come back, watch this. She was stripped of everything. Husband gone. Sons gone. Stripped. She walks back into Bethlehem. Stripped. I want to tell you a little something about this. Now, you watch this very carefully. You got a person here who has sought God. Watch this. Who has sought the Lord. They want to be filled with the Spirit of God. They want the fullness of God. And they are headed down toward that area in their life. And they fall. They're wounded. They're struck. They're sliced. And if we're not careful, we think they're bad. We look down on them. I'll tell you, bless God for people who welcome Naomi's home. Let me tell you who spirit-filled people. The Bible said, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself also, lest thou be taken. God is teaching us that, listen, the people that you think may be the backsliders are the people that God is working in to bring them to the power of God in their life. So be very, very careful how you're judging a man who's in trouble. Because he may be in the midst of a journey to the fullness of Almighty God. Naomi come back, and you know what she did? You know the story, but she comes up in chapter 4, and she takes that grandbaby up named Obed, holds him up. You know what Obed means? Worship. Did you know Naomi never learned to worship till God stripped her? Did you know why this morning God is stripping some of you of things in your life? Because He wants to bring you to a place where you can worship. And right now, you got so much baggage on you, you can't worship. Let me tell you who worships. That's people stripped of everything. You give me somebody, the Lord just took it all away. I guarantee that people come in church, it's just about worshiping God. I'm just glad to be here. Christ was despised and rejected. Are you thirsty and hungry after God? Do you want more? You know what? Can I just be honest with you this morning? Just have a talk with you. In the last 40 years in this country, when I first started preaching in 1982, I was sweated to preach right in the midst of what's called a big charismatic resurgence. I mean, literally, charismatic people were taking over denominational churches. I mean, they'd come into a church and they'd call the church split and they might take the church over. I mean, I've literally, right in this county, seen churches taken over by it. Now, let me tell you why that happened and how that happened. And if it hadn't been for the Word of God, I'd have went straight with that, because at least they had some sense of joy and gladness in their services a little bit. Let me tell you why it was allowed to happen. It's because fundamental Bible churches sat in there dead as a rock for 50 years. And people were sick of it. And they said, give me anything except this deadness. You listen to me? A lot of people knew that spirit wasn't right they was going into. They just said, at least they're happy about something. I mean, at least they got entertained, Jake, going to church. So some woman jumped up, you know, and pranced across the top of the back of the pews, and they had something to talk about on the way home. It was not because their doctrine was right, because the doctrine was wrong. It was because there was such deadness in church. And you listen to this preacher well. I have to continually seek the Lord. I'm telling you, I have to continually seek God to keep him getting stale, to keep him getting in a rut. I have to stay in that Bible. I have to get off in the woods by myself. And I have to say, oh God, don't let me get down in a rut. God, fill me with the Holy Ghost of God. And for no other reason, so those people can have something from God on Sunday morning. You just can't do it. I'm telling you something. Listen, the tendency is for our flesh just to float off into Lululand. And that's why we're going to do something on Wednesday night. Some of you think Wednesday night's dead. Well, maybe it is dead, but it wouldn't be so dead if you spent 30 minutes up here praying your heart out for lost people. I mean, what do you want me to do? Entertain you on Wednesday night? What do you want me to have a song and a dance for you? What are you looking for on Wednesday night? Do you think prayer's worthless? Do you think it's no good? It doesn't have any purpose? Oh, well, it was dead. Well, maybe it was dead. Hey, do something yourself. Get full of God. Let me promise you this. If you'll go with this visiting, it'll get a lot more exciting for you. Your Christian walk will get a lot more exciting. You get that door slammed in your face and somebody says, I hate you people. You'll come back and say, they ain't getting the hate of me, but God, I need you. at least you'll have something to talk about. Amen. You'll have some visible deal. I'm talking about you want to be a blessing to God and others. You want to lead others to Christ. You want to be salt and light. You want to have the fruit of the Spirit. Hey, how many can stand more love? How many can stand more joy? How many can stand more peace? How many can be a little more gentle? How many can be a little more long-suffering? How many can be a little more good and temperate? You're only going to get it through the fire of the Holy Ghost. You know what that guy says? God, I'm getting up and out of my comfort zone. I'm heading down to Jericho. I'm willing to be singled out. I'm willing to be struck. I'm willing to be sliced. I'm willing to stumble. But then there's something else. He was shunned. And this is the one we really don't want. Well, watch this. I want to ask you a question. Now, here's that old boy laying down on the side of the road. That old Christian boy. He just wanted more of God. He got down there, and I'm telling you, instead of getting filled with the Holy Ghost, he got beat, battered, cut up, robbed, stripped. And you know what? Here comes Levite. Levite sees him over and kind of, man, wow, he's in bad shape. Walked right on around, went on the other side of him. That's religion. That's law. I can't save you. You being good can't save you. But here's what the deal is. Then here, person, here comes the priest. That old priest, he walked around the other side. Man, walked right on by. Now, here's what I want to get. I know that that talks about religion and the law, and it can't save you, okay? But here's what I want you to get out. Where did priest and Levite come from? Where had they been? Jerusalem. You don't reckon they went to church with him? You don't reckon they just left the service a little later than he did? And let me tell you what will happen to you. Now, you listen to me real good. You decide, you seek God with all your heart, you get obedient to God, you sell out, I'm talking about sell out to God, and your Christian brethren are going to shun you. You get ready for it. Oh, you know what they'll do? I get so tickled at this. I get around a little bit. I go to a few churches every once in a while. There'd be some young preacher, he'd get on fire for God. I mean, Randy, he is absolutely on fire for God. And you know what them old preachers and their old folks in church do? They kind of go, easy now, easy. You'll get backslid like the rest of us after a while. You'll get over this. You'll get to where you come to church, just kind of sit there, you know, and you'll quiet down. Your happiness is making us condemned, by the way. It embarrasses us for you to be so happy in the Lord. And church people are the ones who literally push the pressure down on somebody who's trying to be filled with the God. Filled with God. I mean, you know, we give them subtle little cool off, Jack. Settle down, Jim. You're making us look bad. Get back up here in Jerusalem. Get back in church. I'm just saying you'll get shunned. You need to take shunning as a positive thing, though. Because when you're getting shunned, you're fixing to get filled. You're fixing to get filled. But you know what we need to do is respond right. When people shun us, we just need to keep the old wine poured in. Let God pour it in on us. I want to ask you this morning, are you thirsty for more of God? You want the power of God in your life? Are you willing? Make this statement to you. Salvation is absolutely, completely free, but being filled with the Spirit will cost you. It will cost you. It'll cost you a lot of junk in your life that God wants to get rid of. And if you can go and watch this now, listen to me carefully, because this is the tough part of it. If you can have all this happen to you, you get singled out, cut off from the herd, you get struck, wounded, you get sliced, cut, you stumble and fall right in front of everybody in your effort to walk with God, and then you get shunned, and if you can not feel sorry for yourself, you may be getting filled with the Spirit of God. Because it's right at that point when most of us feel sorry for ourselves. This is what happened to me, bless God Almighty, and I feel sorry for myself is what Jim's talking about this morning in the Sunday school class. Now, I'm going to give you something sweet and get you out of here in just a few minutes. Listen to me carefully. You read that story, and Jesus poured oil and wine in that man, right? Poured oil and wine in. Somebody tell me what the guy's name was. Here's the biggest deal. Anybody know his name? No, you don't know His name. And that's for a reason. It's because when you get filled with the Spirit, life becomes about nothing about you and everything about Him. The one who is given glory in the story is the Good Samaritan, not the man who was helped. Not the man who has had oil poured in him. And a Spirit-filled man is one who is decreasing and Christ is increasing. You see, Jim, you're talking about, I'm going to tell you something, Jim. What you said this morning was really, really good. It helped me. You said about preaching that sometimes you feel embarrassed. What do people think about me? I'm not preaching. I thought to myself, you know, I never thought of this. How would it be to, you know, it helped me see inside them. He's just being honest. Because you see, in all reality, the second we decide that we want to be filled with the Spirit of God or surrender to God, if we're not careful, our flesh will rise up in us and say, well, yeah, you'll be the preacher, you'll be the pastor, you'll be used of God, you'll be somebody. And that's the second this oil quits being poured in. I just want to put this to you, that He took him to the end. You never hear of his name. The rest of history, we've never known this man's name. And there's a reason for that, because with truly Spirit-filled people, it's not about them, it's about the Lord. Now, I want the pianist to come this morning, and I don't care who, I want you to play a song, I'd Rather Have Jesus. And I want to talk to the church here for just a little bit. I want you to listen to me very carefully. Here a couple of 3 weeks ago, I went down to Tennessee on a trip for the boys. And they needed somebody to go down there and see a fellow and look a situation over in business. And I told him, I said, I'll go. It sounded good to me getting away. And I got my old red truck and I took off down the highway. Now, my red truck, it's a beautiful thing. And it's got dents in the side and some of the lights. The only thing I was afraid of was getting picked up, because I think I got a light out somewhere. And I got going down just outside of Mountain Grove, and I said, Lord, I'm in my old red truck, and it doesn't have a radio, and the CD player hadn't worked in years. So it's either me, Whistle Dixie, all the way to Tennessee, or you're going to need to talk to me. I said, Lord, I'm heading to Tennessee. I've got an 8.5-hour drive. Would you speak to me? I'm listening. And I want to tell the church something that God's vividly. You say, well, Reggie, did He speak to you in an audible voice? No, He didn't. I think it's just kind of like Elijah, that sweet, still voice in my heart began to give me some direction. I'm your pastor. And here's what the Lord spoke to me. And I shared this with one or two of the men this week, but I want you to listen carefully. And I wrote it down. God has been so good, so merciful, and He has blessed this local church. And He has chosen to use this church in ways that we could have never dreamed. I mean, just right here this morning in a letter. And the thousands of people that we're reaching every month. I've tried to listen to the Lord about where I'm at and also about where He wants us to go. And it seems in some ways, for me at least, that we've been in a stalemate. It just seemed like I'm just stuck. I'm not really going backward, it don't seem like, but I'm just stuck. I'm not going forward. And I said, Lord, I'd like to have some marching orders. I'm listening for, where do You want this church to go? What do You want this church to do, Lord? You see, whenever God took Israel out of Egypt, there's a place there where He said, go forward. He said, you've dwelt long enough at this mountain, go forward. And at best I can, this is what I want to tell you, the sweet Spirit of God whispered in my heart. Reg, you've led this people in right doctrine, biblical convictions, the fundamentals of the faith. And Reggie, you've contended for the faith, and you've taken a stand, and all these things, Bible standards and convictions. Now listen to me very carefully. I'm going to tell you how God revealed this, what I'm getting ready to say to you. Many of you know that although I am not connected with any denomination, I have, in a sense, aligned myself to independent Baptist people because, and here's the reason, I believe their doctrine is the most aligned with Scripture as far as a denominational group goes. Are you listening to me? I don't agree with some of the things that goes, you know, that I just have never, ever, ever in any slight way felt inclined that God wanted me to join any group, ever. Now, you take that up with God if you don't understand that. But I have admired and appreciated and been grateful to those who have held to the doctrines of the Bible, irregardless of whether it fit everybody else's preconceived ideas or not. Okay? I'm not puffing up or putting down independent Baptists. One of the reasons I don't go to many conferences, one of the reasons I don't go to some stuff, is because I'm not careful, I'll get poisoned while I'm there. I'll hear junk. And the last time I ever went to a big conference, I just literally heard a group of preachers talking, running each other down, running some other preachers down, and I just walked out there and I said, Lord, that's the last thing I need. That's probably why God has kept me out of a denomination. Probably, because He just knew I can't handle that stuff. If it's so poisoned, I'd be worthless. I was driving down the road and I thought about something. You hear me well this morning. You hear me well. Don't miss what I'm going to tell you. It's like the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Reggie, what was your wife's religious background? I said, Lord, Church of the Brethren. Reggie, what about the Church of the Brethren? Well, my first prophet thoughts was, well, Lord, as a denomination, seem to me like they've apostatized the Word of God and they're ordaining women and queers, and you know, just seemed like they got away from the Word of God and just dead. And Lord, it just seemed me like it, you know, just might have been a great work at one time, but Lord, it just, I sure didn't want to go that direction. And Lord said, but Reggie, was there anything good? Was there anything good in that group? And I said, Lord, yeah, there was. I said, it's what my wife's got. I want you to listen to me carefully. My wife has, and she hates me to talk about her from the pulpit, but honey, I'm going through it right now, and there's a reason. My wife has a meek, a quiet, peaceable spirit, without which our marriage would not have lasted. And I got to thinking about some of her relatives, and I've read a lot of history of her family. I've got a picture of her great-grandpa who was a pastor, a preacher. And let me tell you one of the things that they did have. They had a spirit in them of gentleness. They had a spirit in them of peaceableness. They had a spirit in them of kindness. They aren't like the Baptists. They don't fight. Let me tell you about her family. To this day, her family has problems. They'll just kind of walk away from each other. You don't hear them hollering. And here's what the Lord spoke to me. Reggie, they ain't nobody got it all right out there. The Methodists ain't got it all right. The Baptists ain't got it all right. The Brethren ain't got it all right. The Pentecostals ain't got it all right. You know, just be thankful. But Reggie, here's what the Lord spoke to my heart. And this is honest, flat truth. Reggie, if you could lead that church to where they were a strong, solid, courageous, Bible-believing people, uncompromising in truth, and yet those people had the gentleness of Jesus Christ and the peaceableness of God about them and the kindness of our Savior, Reggie, then you might be able to say when you die that your ministry was a little bit profitable. And let me tell you what I believe that I need and what God's doing in my life and what God wants to do in this church's life. That's why I told you this morning, if I'd had my way about it, I'd have everybody here that ever goes to this church at any time. Because God being my helper, I don't want to compromise about truth. I don't tell you there's bedrock convictions I would die for. But Brother Terry, we need to be kinder people. We need to be more peaceable. We need to quit fighting. We need to quit fussing. We need to quit talking about each other. We're too familiar with each other here. I know some people don't like this statement, but familiarity breeds contempt. There is a biblical truth in that. You and your husband can get so familiar you don't even appreciate each other anymore. You can get so familiar with your daddy, you don't even appreciate him. You can get so familiar with your mother, you don't even appreciate them anymore. You can get so familiar with the people that are sitting in church that you don't even appreciate them, and all you can see are their faults and their failures and their downfallings. instead of appreciating them filling the seat this week and praying and helping and serving God and loving God and being a fellow brother in Christ, you know, we just fuss and fight and we can't find anything good about each other. And I know, I'm not saying we do that. I'm saying, listen, it can canker a church that fast. And the Lord has shown me something, Sister Adams. I don't want you to take offense to what I've said about the Baptist. She's been a Baptist pastor's wife, and bless God Almighty, I thank God for you. I want to tell you something. My heart goes out to you because, you know, the one thing I know, there's some hurts and some cuts and some wounds in your heart, and I'm telling the truth, ain't I? And wouldn't it have been a little bit better if there had been some peaceableness and some gentleness and some kindness? I'll tell you something. You listen to me this morning. I'm getting dead rock serious with you. There's a couple that, how many years y'all been in the ministry? About 40 years. You know who they've got to take care of them this morning? Is their denomination taking care of them? Are some people they pastor taking care of them? Is some churches sending money to them saying, hey, listen, we know you've been at this 40 years. We want to help you. I don't know what, but I would guess they're not. She's shaking her head no. What in the world is wrong with us? This church right here, she'll tell you, this church right here has done more to help them and sustain them in this day. It's like the Lord said to me, Reggie, listen, and I'm not talking about us as a people. I love everybody here. I think you all love each other. But Bob, we don't have to be like other churches. We don't have to be like that. Why do we have to be one or the other? We don't have to be weak and wobbly and noodle-backed and not stand for anything just so we can play nice to each other. But Joe, why can't we be strong and believe our convictions, but yet be so loving and so kind and so peaceable? And let me tell you something this morning. I want to say with every fiber in my heart, this is the truth. The reason this church doesn't have that is because of who pastors it. Because Brother Rice, if you were to tell me the truth, then you'd say, Reggie, you don't have a sweet, gentle, kind, peaceable spirit in you. You're always ready to fight. Am I telling you the truth or not? Huh? You can tell the truth. You're in church. Brother Ron, is that the truth or not? You can tell the truth. Brother Larry?
Yeah, I'd say
it's you'd say it's the truth. Thank you. Brother Larry, let me tell you something. I'm just like the rest of you. I need more of God.
Amen.
Daddy, I don't want my kids and grandkids looking back and saying, well, yeah, Granddad was a preacher. Daddy's a preacher, but he's also a crank. I mean, I'll tell you, ain't nobody believes to stand up for what's right. And I'm telling you what, die for it. It's the truth. If it's the truth, it'll stand. You know what? But I tell you, Brother Danny, I'm telling you this church this morning, if God is my witness, I want you to pray like you've never prayed before, that the power of the Holy Ghost would come upon this church. And that when we walk in this church, we'd be so kind and loving to each other. We'd have a peaceable spirit about each other and get rid of this cankered. I'm just going to be honest with you. You know, the reason I'm not an independent Baptist is because I said I don't want to be around the fighting. I don't want to be around the backstabbing I hear things going on all the time. I don't want to go to a denominational meeting and get in my little clique in here and I don't like these guys over here. I just like to love everybody if I could. Wound up loving nobody, but anyway. And they're not all like that. Brother Larry Brown is an independent Baptist, one of the sweetest guys you've ever seen preach his heart out. Isn't that right? They're not all like that. I'm not knocking down anybody. Hey, I can show you in the Methodist, and I can show you in the Nazarene, I can show you in all of them. There's some good things that there. Hey, why don't we just take what the Bible says and do it? So, you know, I just want to ask you all this morning. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to come and pray. Lord, if you have to cut us, if you have to wound us, if you have to put us out of our comfort zone, Lord, would you pour the oil and the wine in this church? Would you pour the oil and the wine in this church? You know what? Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. And I'm so thankful for every one of you. I'm going to tell you right now, won't you let the devil... I am so thankful for every one of you. I love you with all my heart, the best I know how to love. But I think God wants to take us somewhere. Terry, what do you think? You think we can stand more kindness around here? Sister Lord, you think we can stand a more gentle preacher? I know some of you like me to holler. Now, don't get me wrong. I'll keep hollering at you. Don't worry about that. Ed, what do you think? Think we need more peaceableness around here, more gentleness and kindness? I can't even hear him. It's a...
I said I quit thinking a long time.
Oh, you quit thinking a long time ago. Brother Dave, what do you think?
Pour it on.
Pour it on. Well, I tell you what, I say the same thing. You know what? I started praying, going down the highway. Lord, pour in the oil and the wine. Pour in the oil and wine. Lord said, Reggie, that wine will sting a little because that wine will burn out the bacteria in you. It'll get to your sins. If you'd like this morning, would you come? I'd like for about 20 men to come gather around me and say, Lord, would you pour the oil in our pastor? Would you give him, would you maintain the convictions but give him the kindness? How many would be in favor of that? We're going to have a church election right now. How many would like for your pastor to be a little more kind? Bill, what do you think? He said he gave us a warrior before he sent us a warrior king before a peaceful king. Sometimes you've got to have war to have peace, he's saying. Thank you, Bill. But anyway, I'd like for you to pray. If you're here today and you just say, Dear God in heaven, some of you kids, you know what I'm praying for? I'm praying God will touch some of you kids and you'll be so full of God that the rest of the kids won't want to be around you. That's what I'm praying. I'm going to ask you to come right now. About 20 of you men, would you come pray with me that God would pour His oil and pour His wine into my life? And you know what I want you to do? I want you to come up this altar today and I want you to say, Lord, I thank you for the cuts. I thank you for the wounds. I thank you for the bruises. I thank you for the stripping. Because, Lord, I know it's in that you're going to pour the wine in. So if you'll come today, I'm going to kneel right here. I want about 20 of you just to get around me as much as you can and pray. Would you pray for all of us and pray for each of us this morning? You just do business with God as you feel led anywhere in this church this morning. The altar's wide open.